Christian Service, Chapter 26, Assurance of Success, The Divine Guarantee. God will do the work if we will furnish Him the instruments. God will accept the wholehearted service, and will Himself make up the deficiencies. Every deed of righteousness will be immortalized, although the doer may not feel that he has done anything worthy of notice. If you are truly consecrated, God will, through your instrumentality, bring into the truth others whom He can use as channels to convey light to many that are groping in darkness. The truth is soon to triumph gloriously, and all who now choose to be laborers together with God will triumph with it. To every one who offers himself to the Lord for service, withholding nothing, is given power for the attainment of measureless results. When we labor diligently for the salvation of our fellow men, God will prosper our very effort. The Lord has a place for every one in His great plan. Talents that are not needed are not bestowed. Supposing that the talent is small, God has a place for it, and that one talent, if faithfully used, will do the very work God designs that it should do. The humblest workers, in cooperation with Christ, may touch chords whose vibrations shall ring to the ends of the earth and make melody throughout eternal ages. True success in any line of work is not the result of chance or accident or destiny. It is the outworking of God's providences, the reward of faith and discretion, of virtue and perseverance. Fine mental qualities and a high moral tone are not the result of accident. God gives opportunities. Success depends upon the use made of them. Those who are impressed to enter the work, whether in the home field or in the regions beyond, are to go forward in the name of the Lord. If they depend on God for grace and strength, they will succeed. At the beginning their work may be small, but if they follow the Lord's plans, it will enlarge. God lives. He will work for the unselfish, self-sacrificing laborer, whoever and wherever he may be. Cooperation of heavenly agencies. We need to understand better than we do the mission of the angels. It would be well to remember that every true child of God has the cooperation of heavenly beings. Invisible armies of light and power attend the meek and lowly ones who believe and claim the promises of God. Cherubim and seraphim, and angels that excel in strength, stand at God's right hand. All ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Remember that the Lord Jesus is the master worker. He waters the seed sown. He puts into your minds words that will reach hearts. Consecrate yourselves wholly to the work of God. He is your strength, and He will be at your right hand, helping you to carry on His merciful designs. The heavenly intelligences will work with the human agent who seeks with determined faith that perfection of character which will reach out to perfection in action. To everyone engaged in this work, Christ says, "I am at your right hand to help you." As the will of man cooperates with the will of God, it becomes omnipotent. Whatever is to be done at His command may be accomplished in His strength. All His biddings are enablings. In working for perishing souls, you have the companionship of angels. Thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000 angels are waiting to cooperate with members of our churches in communicating the light that God has generously given, that a people may be prepared for the coming of Christ. In this work, all the angels of heaven are ready to cooperate. All the resources of heaven are at the command of those who are seeking to save the lost. Angels will help you to reach the most careless and the most hardened. And when one is brought back to God, all heaven is made glad. Seraphs and cherubs touch their golden harps and sing praises to God and the Lamb for their mercy and loving kindness to the children of men. He who called the fishermen of Galilee is still calling men to His service, and He is just as willing to manifest His power through us as through the first disciples. However imperfect and sinful we may be, the Lord holds out to us the offer of partnership with Himself, of apprenticeship to Christ. He invites us to come under the divine instruction that, uniting with Christ, we may work the works of God. Think you not that Christ values those who live wholly for Him? Think you not that He visits those who, like the beloved John, are for His sake in hard and trying places? He finds His faithful ones, and holds communion with them, encouraging and strengthening them. And angels of God, that excel in strength, are sent forth by God to minister to His human workers who are speaking the truth to those who know it not. All heaven is in activity, and the angels of God are waiting to cooperate with all who will devise plans whereby souls for whom Christ died may hear the glad tidings of salvation. Angels who minister to those that shall be heirs of salvation are saying to every true saint, "There is work for you to do. Go stand and speak to the people all the words of this life. If those addressed would obey this injunction, the Lord would prepare the way before them, putting them in possession of means wherewith to go. In such a time as this, every child of God should be actively engaged in helping others. As those who have an understanding of Bible truth try to seek out the men and women who are longing for light, angels of God will attend them. And where angels go, none need fear to move forward. As a result of the faithful efforts of consecrated workers, many will be turned from idolatry to the worship of the living God. Many will cease to pay homage to man-made institutions, and will take their stand fearlessly on the side of God and His law. The principalities and powers of heaven are watching the warfare which, under apparently discouraging circumstances, God's servants are carrying on. New conquests are being achieved, new honors won, as the Christians, rallying round the banner of their Redeemer, go forth to fight the good fight of faith. All the heavenly angels are at the service of the humble, believing people of God, and as the Lord's army of workers here below sing their songs of praise, the choir above join with them in ascribing praise to God and to His Son. It is not the power that emanates from men that makes the work successful. It is the power of the heavenly intelligences working with the human agent that brings the work to perfection. A palm may plant, and an Apollos may water, but it is God that giveth the increase. Man cannot do God's part of the work. As a human agent, he may cooperate with the divine intelligences, and in simplicity and meekness do his best, realizing that God is the great master workman. Although the workman may be buried, the work will not cease, but it will go on to completion. The Christian always has a strong helper in the Lord. The way of the Lord's helping we may not know, but this we do know: He will never fail those who put their trust in Him. Could Christians realize how many times the Lord has ordered their way, that the purposes of the enemy concerning them might not be accomplished, they would not stumble along complainingly. Their faith would be stayed on God, and no trial would have power to move them. They would acknowledge Him as their wisdom and efficiency, and He would bring to pass that which He desires to work out through them. All who engage in ministry are God's helping hand. They are co-workers with the angels. Rather, they are the human agencies through whom the angels accomplish their mission. Angels speak through their voices and work by their hands. And the human workers, cooperating with heavenly agencies, have the benefit of their education and experience. Christ called every man and woman to put on the armor of His righteousness and begin to work. "I am at your right hand to help you," He declares. Tell all your trials and perplexities to your God. He will never betray your confidence. There is nothing so precious to Christ as His purchased possession, His church, the workers who go forth to scatter the seeds of truth. Think of Jesus. He is in His holy place, not in a state of solitude, but surrounded by 10,000 times 10,000 of heavenly angels who wait to do His bidding. And He bids them go and work for the weakest saint who puts his trust in God. High and low, rich and poor, have the same help provided. There should be no thought of failure. Workers for Christ are never to think, much less to speak, of failure in their work. The Lord Jesus is our efficiency in all things. His Spirit is to be our inspiration, and as we place ourselves in His hands, to be channels of light, our means of doing good will never be exhausted. We may draw upon His fullness, and receive of that grace which has no limit. When we give ourselves wholly to God, and in our work follow His directions, He makes Himself responsible for its accomplishment. He would not have us conjecture as to the success of our honest endeavors. Not once should we even think of failure. We are to cooperate with one who knows no failure. The Lord is disappointed when His people place a low estimate upon themselves. He desires His chosen heritage to value themselves according to the price He has placed upon them. God wanted them, else He would not have sent His Son on such an expensive errand to redeem them. He has a use for them, and He is well pleased when they make the very highest demands upon Him, that they may glorify His name. They may expect large things if they have faith in His promises. Proportionate success. When God opens the way for the accomplishment of a certain work, and gives assurance of success, the chosen instrumentality must do all in His power to bring about the promised result. In proportion to the enthusiasm and perseverance with which the work is carried forward, will be the success given. The underlying motive in successful service. Whatsoever is done out of pure love, be it ever so little or contemptible in the sight of men, is wholly fruitful, for God regards more with how much love one worketh than the amount he doeth. 10 truly converted, Willing-minded, unselfish workers can do more in the missionary field than 100 who confine their efforts to set forms and preserve mechanical rules, working without deep love for souls. It is not the capabilities you now possess, or ever will have, that will give you success. It is that which the Lord can do for you. We need to have far less confidence in what man can do, and far more confidence in what God can do for every believing soul. He longs to have you reach after Him by faith. He longs to have you expect great things from Him. He longs to give you understanding in temporal as well as in spiritual matters. He can sharpen the intellect. He can give tact and skill. Put your talents into the work, ask God for wisdom, and it will be given to you. The oil of grace gives to men the courage, and supplies to them the motives, for doing every day the work that God appoints to them. The five foolish virgins had lamps. This means a knowledge of Scripture truth, but they had not the grace of Christ. Day by day they went through a round of ceremonies and external duties, but their service was lifeless, devoid of the righteousness of Christ. The Sun of Righteousness did not shine in their hearts and minds, and they had not the love of the truth which conforms to the life and character, the image and superscription, of Christ. The oil of grace was not mingled with their endeavors. Their religion was a dry husk without the true kernel. They held fast to forms of doctrines, but they were deceived in their Christian life, full of self-righteousness, and failing to learn lessons in the school of Christ, which, if practiced, would have made them wise unto salvation. The work of God is to be carried on to completion by the cooperation of divine and human agencies. Those who are self-sufficient may be apparently active in the work of God, but if they are prayerless, their activity is of no avail. Could they look into the censer of the angel that stands at the golden altar before the rainbow-circled throne, they would see that the merit of Jesus must be mingled with our prayers and efforts, or they are as worthless as was the offering of Cain. Could we see all the activity of human instrumentality, as it appears before God, we would see that only the work accomplished by much prayer, which is sanctified by the merit of Christ, will stand the test of the judgment. When the grand review shall take place, then shall you return and discern between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Legal religion will not answer for this age. We may perform all the outward acts of service, and yet be as destitute of the quickening influence of the Holy Spirit as the hills of Gilboa were destitute of dew and rain. We all need spiritual moisture, and we need also the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness to soften and subdue our hearts. We are always to be as firm as a rock to principle. Bible principles are to be taught, and then backed up by holy practice. Success depends not so much on talent as on energy and willingness. It is not the possession of splendid talents that enables us to render acceptable service, but the conscientious performance of daily duties, the contented spirit, the unaffected, sincere interest in the welfare of others. In the humblest lot true excellence may be found. The commonest tasks, wrought with loving faithfulness, are beautiful in God's sight. The symmetrical structure of a strong, beautiful character is built up by individual acts of duty, and faithfulness should characterize our life in the least as well as in the greatest of its details. Integrity in little things, the performance of little acts of fidelity and little deeds of kindness, will gladden the path of life, and when our work on earth is ended, it will be found that every one of the little duties faithfully performed has exerted an influence for good, an influence that can never perish. Leave results with God. The good seed may for a time lie unnoticed in a cold, selfish, worldly heart, giving no evidence that it has taken root. But afterward, as the Spirit of God breathes on the soul, the hidden seed springs up, and at last bears fruit to the glory of God. In our life work we know not which shall prosper, this or that. This is not a question for us to settle. We are to do our work, and leave the results with God. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. God's great covenant declares that, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall not cease. In the confidence of this promise, the husbandman tills and sows. Not less confidently are we in the spiritual sowing to labor, trusting his assurance. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.